Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for this Friday, the 17th day of August, 2018. I'm David Ellis with you up until 1:30 today. Call us at 434-1790. I know there's a lot to talk about. If you listen to the House of Assembly discussion this past week, you would have had a clearer indication as to what's coming up as it relates to the fight to deal with the Barbados economy. And there is little or no doubt now that we have to brace ourselves for job losses. And I don't think that you should look for job losses alone based upon the work that has to be done in these state-owned enterprises. You can anticipate that you are going to see an increase in certain fees as well. I would not be at all surprised to see an increase in bus fares. I would not be at all surprised to find that people are going to be asked to pay for certain of the services at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Those are among the main ones. But over the years, I know that Barbadians have been told repeatedly that the price of natural gas, for instance, is relatively low. So these are some of the things that I believe will be coming at us. It's not going to be easy at all. What's left to be seen, though, is the degree to which the funding that is expected to come from the IMF and particularly from the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank will cushion the blow and create more of an environment where the push of the responsibility will move away from government and more to an expanded private sector. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
A blessed good morning to you, David.
Welcome to the program.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm holding on, my brother. I'm getting a little rain, so I give in thanks. I just want to say, first, before I go into my main contribution today, I just want to send out kudos to the Sanitation Authority, because I called in yesterday morning while Lisa Gale was the moderator, because we had a high pileup in my area. But nevertheless, I was bashed because the guys said they get scrutinized from inside. But at the end of the day, they were saying that there's a serious problem with shortage of trucks, and there were other people that didn't get garbage collections for a while as well. But at the same time, David, I just want to say thank you to the driver and the guys who did the pickup. But they were annoyed because that they had to come out and do it. But at the end of the day, I just want to make it abundantly clear that I don't set out to tear down anybody or to make them look bad. But you got to put yourself in a position when you haven't had a collection for a while. You would imagine how the stray dogs and the wild cats, they come and they tear up everything. And it is unsightly. So I just want to make that abundantly clear, and I hope that the Sanitation Authority will get some relief soon in the not too far distant future with the purchasing of trucks and to help to relieve this situation, because as you know, we have a lot more households in Barbados than before, and I know that the fellas work under severe pressure and they don't set out to put the money any more pressure. So I just want to say thanks again for coming out and collecting the garbage, and I hope that things get better in the Sanitation Authority. You understand where you're coming from, David?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and now I want to speak about this CLECO issue, because it is quite frustrating to a lot of the policy holders. And as you rightfully know, David, it was said that another entity took over from the former CLECO holding, and people would get their pensions and their whatever they put into CLECO, they would have gotten it back a good few years ago. And here it is being said that people have to hold on. I think I read an article in yesterday's paper or today's paper saying that this new company is not yet in a good position to pay the policyholders what is due to them. So, you know, you're so mixed up and you're so confused as to what is really happening, because at one minute you're saying this new company will pay. Certain people have been paid and a lot more are on the list to be paid. Then you hear now that a lot more people can't be paid right now. They've got to hold on. So what is, I know that you will be in a better position to explain. And I want to go on before, because I'm going to say what I have to say, and I'm going to listen to your contribution. Because, you know, David, I have a serious problem. When you go through St. John, there are so much what you would call the old plantation houses that built out of soft stone that I think personally can be fixed. If I don't know what the government can do with the lands up there if they want to put them back into agriculture. But I know for a fact, when you look at Poole, when you look at Wakefield, when you look at Clifton Hall, these are a few of the plantations that were run by the Clicquot Estate. So I want to know if the government cannot do anything in the House of Assembly to take over these properties, fix them up, sell them to whoever they have to sell them to, or put some of these lands under the BADMC to put them back into cultivation so that some kind of monies can be had to help these policyholders get back some of their money. And that is my contribution today. I will listen to you.
Well, I don't think you should run away, because I think the story that is in the newspaper today says that the holdup now is the government's debt restructuring program. And that decision by the government has impacted on a bond which was issued by the government of Barbados to guarantee payment. But it has since been suspended as the administration grapples with the economic situation. So were you aware that that was the new problem?
Yeah, I understand that, but but David, these things, you know, I'm not a harsh person, but when I look at Stanford, and I ain't call it, but when I look at Stanford, I don't think that the chairman of Clicquot Holdings is much different.
Well, you just got to be very careful.
Yeah, but you know,
you just got to be very careful where you go with that, because.
But David, hold on.
You're not going to put us in trouble, huh? Because you know, people are very quick to litigate. So just be careful here. There are two separate issues. The two separate issues here. It is what happened to Clicquot over the years, and the concerns that have been raised by many people about how those who led Clicquot were able to escape greater scrutiny. And then there is now the problem here where the government has defaulted on certain payments, and as a consequence, the expectation which people who are now members of what's called Resolution Life had, that they would have been able to get certain payments due to them, that expectation has been dashed. There is a need for us to get some clarification from the government, perhaps the Ministry of Finance, on how it sees those people being assisted in the circumstances, or to what extent it believes they should be given some kind of indication as to approximately when. I think everything, though, hinges on the extent to which Barbados is able to get the agreement with the International Monetary Fund.
Yeah, but you know, David, you know where I have a serious issue.
What?
We had two former prime ministers running under the Democratic Labour Party ticket, and whenever this Clicquot issue came up, I remember, because David Thompson, God rest him in
But this
grave.
Specific issue has nothing to do with them.
But you got to listen to where I'm going, and reaping up something old don't really help the situation, but it gives us a better understanding as to where I am going with my conversation and my dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
All I am saying is that David Thompson made it abundantly clear that he is going to get a certified check or whatever he did from the central bank. I think was supposed to be like something like $10 million to restructure Clicquot and to hold it up.
So I don't recall that. I don't recall that.
But you do your homework, and I
don't recall that.
Well, you do your homework and you come back to me on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the former prime minister, Rich, who just lost the election, Brendan Stewart, when the opposition asked him over and over, what is this government going to do to help the policyholders that lost so much millions of dollars in that entity? Well, Leroy Powers is my friend. I don't think he has committed any breach of law, and all I can do is tell him to seek legal advice. You know, and here it is, David, so much years later, I'm not only coming here to talk about, I have family and friends and loved ones who have put their hard-earned money into CLECOR. Some of them dead and gone alone. Some of them get sick over studying their money. And you mean now that you mean to come telling people again that there is problems with them getting what it rightfully belongs to them, David? Do you think you could figure? I don't know if you had money in it or if you had money in your bank. And you get up $2 million in a bank account and you get up the next morning knowing you could pay your bills, you could live your lifestyle how you see it because it is your money. And then you hear that you ain't got a cent. How would you feel, David?
So are you blaming... Can I conclude that you're blaming the Motley administration for the latest delay?
No, well, I can't say I blame them because, you know, I can't say I blame them. I can give them a little time because, you know, if you remember, no, David, don't laugh because you can say that I'm partisan.
Am I saying that? I'm saying nothing. You can say who you are, sir.
No, but David, I have spoken to you so much.
Listen.
That I know you.
You know me, you know yourself better.
But in all fairness, Dave, I thought I could at least get a little laugh because I'd be so stressed out these days. I don't know the last time I could get a laugh, to be quite honest with you. But in all fairness to the people who have put in money in CLECO, you know where we have a problem? It was said over and over that the head of the insurance or whatever said to the heads of CLECO, do not sell any more insurance or any more policies. And
I thought that we had gone beyond all of that to create a company called Resolution Life.
Yeah, but what happened is now the people ain't get what is rightfully deserved to them, and that is wrong.
But you just said that you recognize what is the problem and that you're prepared to give the administration time. So I don't understand how you move from this latest scenario to go back to flog the former administration on what happened. I mean, it is what it is. We have to work with it now. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Summer specials on at Frontline Trading. Alternative building materials and hardware products available up to 20% off. Frontline Trading has PVC fascia boards, crown moldings, trunking, drawer slides and cupboard hinges, metal track and stud, steel toe work boots, and much more. They also have slightly damaged fiber cement and PVC sheets on sale. Check out their products on Facebook and Instagram, or visit their showroom at Salter St. George from Monday to Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call Frontline Trading today at 228-6475 for your building materials and get a free quotation.
Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
First thing I want to do is to thank the PSV owner yesterday for coming on radio and letting the Barbadian public and maybe others throughout the world know where the situation exists. You know, I am not seeking to destroy it. If you have an annoying problem, will you try to get rid of it? Will you just encourage it? If you see a mouse in your house, will you feed it? Don't you think that this problem have... I was trying to not to blame the owners, but the owners don't be out there. I was trying not to... But after she came and she talked, another thing too, David, I think each PSV should have a contact number on the permit. But maybe as the PSV, it has the number of the PSV, the company is owned by. Very few have a contact number. Very, very few. And I think that is something that needs to be looked at. That all should have a number in which whoever is responsible for the PSV can get in contact with the owner. It seems that each time these major political parties come to office, these two, there's always a political boogie insurance man. Because I'm going to call it him, there were two other insurances that also had a problem. Remember the two?
You remind me, please.
Hello?
I'm listening to you.
Can I call your name?
Well,
yeah. Joshua Mature Conformers.
Trade Confirmers wasn't an insurance company.
It wasn't?
No.
But it has something to do with money and people lose their money, though.
There's another insurance company, isn't it? Just Narsham, I think there was New India Assurance as well. But I don't think that you can put Trade Confirmers in that particular box. I think that was a finance house, but it wasn't.
I stand corrected. Was there a recent increase in salaries for politicians?
Yes.
So you see this?
Because remember what happens is that there's this link between the public servants and the politician's salary. So if you get a 5% increase for the public servant, then there is also an increase for the politicians, the people in the House of Assembly, and the ministers of government.
That needs to be severed. I read in today's paper, Senator Monique trying to make an issue or grounds for the Governor General getting into Tema alliance. I mean, I have said this before, and it was said again, the Governor General is the Queen's representative. I personally feel any money is going to the Governor General should be done by the British government. In these harsh times, when you got a lot of poor people out there, can't get ends meet. You can get people who supposed to be agitating on behalf of the people making noise of somebody who already got. I mean, I feel in this difficult times, I know you might still know it's a talking thing, but to me it's more than talking. Every little bit counts.
I really think that it is difficult to get most Barbadians to support a call such as the one that has been made for ministers to earn $20,000 a month. And make a comparison between what they earn and what somebody in the private sector is earning. Everybody has to remember where we are right now as a country. And there was a lot of discussion before about the need for people in government to set a particular tone. Now, far from setting... Well, I think when the new administration came, they said that their 10% was still going to go to charity and that sort of thing. I don't know now that the increase has kicked in whether that obtains. But in an environment where you already have people complaining that the size of government is very large, the question is, what symbol and what signal is this administration prepared to adopt as a means of showing Barbadians that the government itself is seeking to set the example of tightening the belt? Because that was the issue that was on the table when the Democratic Labour Party administration took the 10%. Understand this. It does not vary depending upon who is in office. What we do know is that since coming to office, the Barbados Labour Party administration has had to tighten the belt further for Barbadians. And therefore, it would be logical for people to ask the question, so what is your sacrifice? You know, so anybody, and I looked at what was said in the Senate, but I don't think that that is sensitive enough to what Barbadians are experiencing, and this is not the time to fly that kite. It isn't.
As a matter of fact, too, I feel that the only minister in government who should be getting entertainment allowance is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, because we are in very, and nobody can deny that. And as I said earlier, every minister should be made to surrender their allowances. And why I'm saying that, if a poor man with four and five children are asked by the same politicians to bear with us, meaning the government, things tight, why can't they set the example? I believe in setting the tone, setting the example for people to follow. Not you just talking, not do as I say, but not as I do, or whatever it's called. not much. When you added them figures, not much size. And even with the increase, they could have refused. They could have said, "But the country is in trouble. We are not going to take it." They could have. But when I see these kind of things happening, you know, all of it's the same thing. And can you blame them for saying that? Because that's what they're demonstrating. I can sympathize with the Prime Minister, but I don't agree with the 26 ministers. I can't. And I'm still waiting for a caller who criticized the 17, and rightly so for criticizing them, but have kept very, very quiet on the 26. I can't deal with that, can't people?
All right, Mr. P, thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
You are there, David?
Yes, I am.
Oh, fantastic. David, the guy calling from Cleco, it seemed to me is like a crying, I don't know, just a crying cat in the wilderness.
Can you turn the radio down?
Because I didn't think it was that heavy. Just one neck. Of course I will.
I'm hearing it in the background. Yes, this is Down to Brass Tacks. Call us at 434-1790. Somebody is suggesting here that instead of widespread layoffs, why can't the government consider suspending allowances across the board for the next 4 years to see the incredible savings that will be achieved, according to this person? Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, David. Hi. Let me tell you about this, how I feel about Cleco business. Cleco was basically like a company on the stock market. It had many different branches. It had different products that it was selling. It made money on some, and it invested very poorly in many. Like many other companies, Cleco got caught in some bad transactions, and with very, very high salaries and bonuses paid to its executives for stellar performance in particular areas. For me personally, 10, 15 years ago, two of my good buddies, they used to laugh at me because I had my money in the bank at 2% interest. They were earning, we are with Cleco, we are earning 12% interest and we only pay 12% tax. And I figured, you know something? You guys are making 5 times as much as what I am, if not more than 5 times. And I figured, well, what's going on? I said, we got a real good salesman, and they know what they're doing. What it turns out, I call it, David, they're people that invested anything, either life insurance or bonds or any other document that has related to a future benefit. You want to get to the principle of caveat emptor. In other words, buyer beware. Facts of life are, if the return sounds too believable to be unbelievable, then it most likely is. And now these people are now crying. They want the government to bail them out. Let me tell you for a fact, David. On the stock markets in the United States, I have lost incredible amounts of money on technology giants and on oil. Because the markets have gone down. My pension plan has gone down by someplace around 40 or 50%. I cannot go to anybody and claim that I should be compensated because the stock market is down, but yet we have people in this country, I'm very sorry, but I certainly have a very strong opinion in this regard. People want somebody to bail them out, and they got a return that was higher than others. I suspect other life insurance companies did not offer such fantastic returns or whatever, and they had availability of information that would make sure that their investments were not in a
Would you accept that part of the reason why Cleco ran into trouble was because of poor government regulation?
No. It has 100% to do with bad management, and particularly at the top. I'm a CA, as you know.
Yeah. Would you accept that the bad management apart, there were
crooked
some other
management,
there were some other factors as well. First of all, there was the situation with the housing bubble. They lost heavily because of that. But this whole question of whether the government has a responsibility to assist those people arises out of the concern about the statutory fund, not having enough money in the statutory fund, and that the regulator, which is the government of Barbados, did not do its job at the time.
No,
And therefore, that is not on all fours with your fall in stock value.
And I would take a question on what your presumption and assumption there is with respect to the government regulators about the statutory funds.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to statutory funds, the directors and the management, they would know what their investment returns are on different properties, what they were paying out as far, and what they were promising to pay out. Having statutory funds to back up as reserves to make sure that they had something in the background that's a different story. That's a completely different story. The fact is that they were paying out returns that were not supported by the performance of the funds.
But haven't we passed this a long time ago? We have reached
the
stage.
But so why are the people still wanting the
government to bail them out? No, the discussion today is about the fact that the bond which was issued, the government is not in a position to meet the particular commitment, and as a consequence of that, the people are not going to get money that they had expected.
What? David, may I respond?
This is the story that is in the newspaper today.
What I would like the people who own bonds and earned a fantastic return on those bonds, let them be the ones to contribute back to the government the excess compared to the economic value of a normal return at the time when they owned the bonds. You hear exactly what I'm saying. If in fact the bank was paying 3%, and CLECO was paying 10%, and these people took a 10% because they figured, ha ha ha, we're going to beat the market, and the salesman, he's a good friend of mine, and he is doing fantastic. And by the way, all these people at CLECO, they are such wonderful, they tell us such wonderful stories. Everything has to be right. I say, excuse me.
But these people haven't made any money on their investments in years.
They haven't made
any money in years.
David, the people made excess returns on their investments in the years that they purchased the funds until it's
well, I don't
paid.
Know how long were they in a position to get those excess returns?
I think that the government and CLECO itself, the management, would know exactly when people invested, how much they invested.
Yeah, but
you don't know the degree to which they benefited. They would have benefited based on the interest rate that they received.
But you don't know for how long? 3 years? 4 years?
It could be 5, 10 years. However long CLECO was. It was when the salesman sold people the money. I know one thing. My neighbor across the street, he put in $500,000. He died, and he's still waiting for his $500,000. But the fact is that he was laughing at me because he was making $50,000 after tax, and I was making $2,000. Now, I say, hey, what is the economic return at the time? When the inflation rate is 2% or 3%, an economic return being 1% or 2%, a reasonable return possibly could be someplace between 2% and 4%. Would you accept that?
Yeah, but, you know, as far as
yeah,
I'm
okay.
concerned...
Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned... Look. As far as I'm concerned, this is water under the bridge to a large extent.
So the government should not be paying anybody.
Well, that's the only
argument that I would have as far as...
The only discussion... Today's discussion is about... The government's debt restructuring program has left about 650 policyholders, most of them elderly and some in financial difficulty, wondering if they will receive payments from investment annuities purchased from the now defunct CLECO. A bond was issued by the government of Barbados to guarantee payment, but it has since been suspended as the current administration grapples with the economy. That was the issue.
David, the government that issued the guarantee to should be taken into consideration. What did these people earn compared to an economic return that most other Bajans or most other companies would have received?
Well, I've heard and you. I'm sure that discussion.
I'm sure there's going to be people responding to that fat ass on the other side of the phone.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, I was just only calling to confirm, you know, you hear about the taxes on the water, right?
Yes.
But I had a call to be certain how much I would have. I personally would got to pay for mine on the minimum charge that I guess. But the lady told me on the phone that I would have had to pay from August an extra $45 on the minimum charge that I normally would receive. So I'm looking at a budget of $80 per month to budget for. So you could understand what it's like for poor people scattered all across the island to be paying that and more.
I just want you all to know that if you think it's tough right now, it's going to get rougher. You know, at the end of the day, the Barbados situation is one in which we are going to the International Monetary Fund. We are therefore putting things in place as a country that we expect they will ask us to put in place. And it is not going to be, it's not going to be easy. I think we all have to brace for that.
Sir, that if one person is being laid off.
Yes.
God help you.
Your question is this, though.
Yeah.
What is the alternative, given what has been happening with the Barbados economy over the years? What is the alternative to that?
I think the alternative is if you're an accountant and you're really studying the maintenance of your monthly bills, your wages, the taxes you're receiving, and your spendings, you have to balance out how you're going to deal with that kind of budget. And if you have a management that's going to be employed and spending your taxpayers' money left, right, and center, it's like train money to the train, and so begging. And you know, a teacher would always tell you, if you borrow, you got to pay back from a sum. So you got to really be hard to really reform the government. You know,
that's why you have to pay more for water. And when you travel, you have to pay more for gas right now. And other things are going to be impacted. The whole hope is that whatever we get out of this, we will then put that money into productive use, and that we will be able to see ourselves coming out of the crisis, let's say in another 3 years or so at least. But it could last much longer than that. Don't forget, though, that for a long time, Barbados has been talking about something called structural reform. And we've only talked the talk, but we haven't walked the walk. I listened to the young economist called Crystal Drakes in the Senate, the opposition senator, speaking about the need for Barbados to address this going forward. Because, you know, I suppose everybody who's been watching us closely will tell you that it can't be business as usual. The difficulty arises in trying to bring about the change, because you have so many people who will say, well, it's hurting me. But that's why it calls for political will. That's why politicians involved in this kind of exercise introduce it at the beginning of a term, so that the hope is that by the time you come towards the end of the term, you would have gotten over the worst of it and would be able to give back and to see some improvement in the overall situation. But trust me, Barbados is recognized to be in a very difficult place right now.
I told you, sir, when I read on a daily basis the papers, I see some of the things that can really be happening around you, you know. Yes, so sometimes it's knowledge to really learn what you read and what can be happening on a daily basis too, you know. Yes. Thanks so much, sir. All right,
all
thanks.
Right. Thank you very much. Sir Charles Williams here on the line. Sir Charles, are you there? Good morning. Sir Charles, you are on. I can hear you from where you are right now.
Yes, but I am on a...
So you want to be called on a landline?
No. I will call you back now on a landline because I want to read to you what I received this morning on my cell phone.
Which landline? You want me to give you the landline? 434?
I call you on your same line.
Not on this one here?
Yes.
On my cell phone?
Yes, I call in two seconds.
Well, we'll see. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Now, Mr. P, don't forget the BLP has not taken the 10% pay rise, and I don't think they are going to take the 5%.
But you don't know?
No, and even if
you would have to ask them to clarify what they're doing.
Well, I don't think they will, by the way, but because they know what the people are suffering. They, too, got the people to look after, because if you go into one of their office when they have a date for people to come in, you see people coming in with all kind of problems, bills and things to be paid, you know. But I know they haven't taken their 10%.
Okay.
So just give them time, Mr. P. It's only 2.5 months. 2 months and 2 weeks, I think. So don't go on there yet, yeah? Now, I heard Mr. James Paul talking about the water going to impact the farmers. When the government of the DLP of that time put up the water, it was 100, then it went to 60%. I never heard Mr. James Paul said anything. Right now, the government have to put up that to help to get the buses, the roads, and the stuff truck, the dustbin truck, to come. They need money for that. So even if they said 150 per day, a lot of us are complaining. But how many of us that live in a house with more than 4 and 5 people? Huh? So each one could contribute towards that water bill. Some of the pensioners are complaining. Yes, they could complain because maybe they are the one that only paying the water. But a lot of them have family live in the house, and they are using the water as well. So
okay.
They could help to complain, to help to pay. And Mr. Ellis, there is a lot got to be done. Why are they talking about the ministers too much? Right now, one minister cannot deal with the mess that are left. You know, and I really believe Miss Monthly know what she's doing, and I gave her time, and I said those ministers should be there for at least a year to help the other the head minister with the second minister to help with the kind of work that to be done. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. It's not easy. I went to Mr. Kerry Wednesday, and you should see the people there want to see him. I'm sure right now when he finishes, he lose a lot of weight because he's working so hard. And I'm sure the other ministers are working
hard. I got another call coming in here from Sir Charles Williams. Let me take this call because he said he was going to call back in 2 minutes. Sir Charles, hello?